Celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves, Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
Is your boat registered and insured for the summer season? Most boats must have proof of insurance on board and be properly registered with bow numbers and stickers. Take the Utah Boating or Coast Guard Auxiliary courses, and you just might get a discount on your insurance. For a copy, call 801-538-BOAT. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
Faster Utah empowers teachers, administrators, and other school staff to defend themselves in case of a school shooting. We teach advanced firearms and trauma first aid skills. Graduates of the Faster program pass the same post-qualification shoot as Utah law enforcement. For more information and find out how you can help, go to fasterutah.org.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Put on your helmet, let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. From hiking to camping to shooting, ready for some fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it, so bring in your bows for free tune-ups. The best part of all is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do, and they will get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
kindness. It's a single smile, a thoughtful word, a small, unexpected gesture. Whatever the act may be, it's something we call kindness. Yet sometimes in such a chaotic world, people forget the power that kindness holds. Kindness can brighten a moment, lift someone's spirits, turn a bad day into a good story. Kindness can make someone's week, or month, or year. Kindness can restore faith in humanity, and some say it can even make us healthier. All with a simple, small, perhaps unseen or anonymous act. So, think about this. What would happen if a small act of kindness sparked another small act of kindness, and then another, and another, and another? What if kindness became contagious, and all the small gestures done by many would make an impact felt around the nation, around the world? Imagine that power. And all it takes is one kind act a day.
Joins us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you for taking time with us. It is an honor having you back on the program.
It is always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to join you. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a lot of fun with you today. We are in the summer months right now, and it is hot. It is dry. We're dealing with insect bites right now. We're dealing with scratches and scuffs and all kinds of things while we work in the garden. Herbs can help a lot of these problems.
Well, yes, and they have been for thousands of years. Sometimes we lose sight of that fact. People in the past, how did they live with insects and bee stings and mosquitoes and so on? So they had various ways to handle it. In a lot of cases, just the wild plants that are growing in the area can come to your aid. There's a couple of herbs that seem to grow throughout much of North America, which I think if people are a little adventurous and want to try to make up their own insect repellents, then getting away from the chemicals that are in so many of the sprays that you get in the local stores, most of which are based on a compound called DEET, which has a bit of a checkered history as far as safety goes, and more increasingly people are concerned about putting this stuff on their skin. And so it's well worth experimenting with and trying some of the natural repellents that are present in these plants. So, as an example, yarrow, basic yarrow, grows in most parts of North America. So actually an introduced plant long ago from Europe, but is now pretty much naturalized. All, certainly through our area, we see it quite a lot. And then also it's in many gardens. People plant it because there are ornamental versions of it as well. But yarrow and catnip are two of the native plants that you will find in natural insect repellents. And catnip in particular is an interesting one because, as we all know, cats get all excited about catnip. They will oftentimes roll in a patch of catnip in the garden. If you have a bunch of plants in the garden, the cats will very likely eat some of the leaves, but they will also roll around in it. And what they are doing, actually there is a recent scientific paper that came out looking at this issue. What they're doing is that they are immersing themselves, getting on their fur, the natural essential oils of catnip. And as they roll around on the plants, And the oils contain a substance which is a very potent, very powerful insect repellent. So that catnip, along with yarrow, which is also known to have very potent pest repellent properties, especially against mosquitoes, those two serve as a basis for many of the natural pest repellents. And you can make your own very easily. You can just make a tea of those two herbs and maybe add a little bit of essential oils of, say, eucalyptus, put a little lavender if you happen to have it around, rosemary, citronella oil, and even lemongrass oil. If you put all those in there, you'll have a very effective natural insect repellent that actually smells nice, much nicer than the deep-biz sprays. And they would do a pretty good job at repelling mosquitoes.
Now, you mentioned tea. Now, I'm assuming this is still used topically, even though you're saying that you're making a tea out of some of these.
Oh, yes. You use it topically. You're not drinking it internally, no. So you're applying it on your skin just as you would, for instance, any commercial bug repellent.
I see a lot of catmint up in the mountains, oftentimes where it's a little boggy, a little more moist, where the mosquitoes tend to hang out.
Yeah, it's spread right across North America. It's a member of a mint family, so it's a pretty vigorous growing plant. What it contains that seems to have the bug repellent properties is a compound called nepotine. And when you isolate that substance, in laboratory studies, they see that it has almost as strong as DEET. And so it's fascinating to see that a plant that has been used for many, many years has been borne out by science to be effective in the way that it has been claimed over so many years, thousands of years, in fact. So catnip is really a special plant. Now, another insect repellent plant, I think we've talked about this on a couple of occasions in the past, and that is thyme, specifically the lemon thyme. And there are so many different types of lemon thyme, but lemon thyme, any of the lemon thymes, turn out to be also effective in repelling mosquitoes. It's not a situation where you're going to get 100% repellency, but you're going to reduce the numbers. So if you're outside and you have a nice lemon thyme lawn, for example, or go and walk on it, and when you walk on it, you're expressing the oils, and the oils are released into the air, and that's what helps reduce mosquitoes. It seems that they don't like the lemon oils at all. So citronella, which is a lemony oil, and eucalyptus, especially the lemon eucalyptus, and, of course, lemongrass. So all of those lemony-type plants that if you get the essential oils are effective as mosquito and other bug repellents.
Now, we're talking specifically mosquitoes. Does it also affect ticks? I understand good parts of the country are being affected by deer ticks and other things like that.
Well, yes, they can also work on those other pests as well. I mean, you can't say that all insects are going to be repelled by these substances, but they do affect quite a range of insects, yes.
This is especially cool when you can actually grow your own insect repellents. I think that is really neat.
Yes, and they're easy to grow. You know, these herbs, catnip, as you said, grows wild, but many people choose to grow it in their garden, maybe for their cats. But you can very easily set aside a small section of a garden, maybe in a corner somewhere, and grow a couple of catnip plants. So that'll provide plenty of leaf material that you can use, fresh leaf material. And if you're in the garden and on a night when there's a lot of mosquitoes, go grab a few branches of the fresh leaves and sort of rub them into your skin. And that will have an effect because, again, it's the essential oil. That nepotine I mentioned is present in the essential oils, and by squashing the leaves and rubbing them onto your skin, you are applying that oil onto your skin, and it will last at least a half an hour or an hour.
And again, it's something that you can have an abundant supply of, not a lot of effort, and take care of things. I always feel guilty, you know, I'm planning to work out in the garden for an hour or two and spraying down with all this other stuff. If you can just pick a few leaves and rub it on your skin and make it real easy, I'm more likely to use it then in that regard.
Like I said, if you're making your own insect repellent, you're starting with a base of yarrow and catnip tea, And I mentioned earlier you could add these essential oils. Well, you could play around with that and maybe a mixture that is more appealing to your nose as well. So lavender I mentioned already. You can also add rosemary. You could add thyme, even rose geranium oil. All of those can be added. So it's a fun thing to do as well. Not just about getting at those insects, those pesky insects, but it also can be a fun thing. It's almost can arrive at a pest repellent that is pleasant smelling, far better smelling than the DEET-based sprays.
And again, about the yarrow, is it the leaves you're using or are you using the flowers on the top?
I use the above ground plants. You want the leaves and the flowers you can use too, but really it's the leaves that are the most potent for this purpose.
That's what I thought. This is good information. If you do get bit, if you get stung, if they do get past your defenses with the herbs, there's other herbs that can help heal those things and help feeling a little better faster.
Absolutely. Two herbs come to mind. I'll talk about them in succession here. The first one is arnica. Now, in the herb world, when we speak about arnica, we're mostly speaking about a European species called Arnica montana. And it's a daisy-like flower. It has been harvested in Europe in the mountains excessively to the point where it is now an endangered species throughout most of Europe. So people have been looking at other species, and it so happens that you in your state of Utah, you have three or four species that can be used just as effectively. You have one called the heartleaf arnica. In Latin, it's known as Arnica cordifolia. And it also has that same yellow, daisy-like flower. And then there's at least a couple of others. Now, these, according to herbalists that I respect who are from that area, they are using these local species with the same effect. Now, Arnica is famous as a plant used for wounds. It's always applied externally. It's not one that you take internally. You don't make a tea from it and drink it. What you do is you make usually a tincture. What they traditionally would do in Europe, they would gather the flowers of the arnica in the mountains, fresh, and they would steep them in a liquor, like, say, vodka or brandy or something of that sort, and they would just keep it that way, and it would be always available for any emergency. And typical thing that it would work for would be any wound, bruise, or insect bites. Scrapes is another thing that it works really well for. So you would just apply it topically on the site where you have the problem, and it will help heal quickly and also reduce the pain. It is, according to studies, it's very potent anti-inflammatory, as well as a number of other things, like it's also antibacterial. But the biggest thing is that it's an anti-inflammatory. So it will reduce the swelling, reduce the pain very quickly. And when they compared arnica products with typical drugs that are used for similar purposes, for example, ibuprofen, very common non-steroidal pain agent that you can buy over the counter in the drugstores, it is at least as effective and maybe even more effective than ibuprofen. Another compound which is used particularly for treating wounds that are in post-surgical situations. So if you go and have surgery, and sometimes your doctors will recommend a drug called diclofenac, also known as Voltaren, and it can be applied right on the site which is healing. It is oftentimes painful with the scar tissue and so on. Well, there was a study where they compared that compound that's typically used in the hospitals with arnica products. And again, they found that it was at least as effective or even better than the standard drugs used in modern medicine. So this is a plant that's been used for many hundreds of years, a well-known wound plant, and it can be used to great effect on all of those skin problems, bites and bruises. If you're going out hiking, and you slip and fall and get a bruise or a scrape, this is a perfect thing to have. So if you're going out, it's not a bad idea to have a little first aid kit, and I would definitely have arnica, an arnica salve, an arnica cream, or this tincture that I talked about earlier.
That's good to know. It's interesting you say that. I haven't heard the name arnica in a long time. Years ago, when I was growing up, I remember a little brown bottle with arnica in it. It's been years since I've even heard the name. This gets me excited. We used it all the time when I was young.
It's long been used as a traditional herb in the Alps, Switzerland, and in Germany and Austria, because this is where the arnica tends to be found in Europe. So people from those areas are generally familiar with this plant.
If folks don't have this growing in their garden, if they don't know where to find it, do you have seeds? Do you have plants that they can purchase?
Yes, we do have the European arnica, although it is a little bit more challenging to grow than the native one. The native ones are actually much easier to grow. There's one that we call just simply American arnica, rather than the European one, which we call European arnica. The American arnica is actually quite easy to grow from seeds, and it is actually found growing wild in your state and as well as all across the Pacific Northwest. So that would be definitely one that if you wanted to grow your own, I would focus in on that one. And it's interesting, a recent paper that I read was that arnica that is growing at higher altitudes in the mountains tends to be more effective, more potent than arnica grown at the lower altitudes. So where you are, you're already quite a bit higher above sea level. It would be very likely would be ideal for growing excellent arnica.
Any other ones that people should be keeping an eye on as far as healing?
Well, if you're outside and hiking, and you probably have encountered somewhere along on your trek the common plantain, which we know is the broadleaf plantain, and also there's a narrowleaf form that's called ribwort or ribgrass plantain. And that's a plant that you see all across North America. It is found in your area. Plantain is an amazing plant. Actually, it's useful for burns, for wounds, for insect bites, it's for itches, that sort of thing. Studies have shown that it can be more effective, again, than the typical drugs that are used for healing burns, like skin burns, for instance. So the plantain, just take a leaf, even a single leaf of the broadleaf type. A single leaf can be maybe 4 or 5 inches long and up to 2 or 3 inches wide. That one single leaf is just bruised a little bit and applied to an area where you've got a scrape or a cut or an insect bite. Just apply it right on, and you usually feel pretty soon relief. It is anti-inflammatory like the arnica, but it's also antibiotic as well. And there's a number of ways that you can use it. Now, there is an interesting study done where they combined plantain with the aloe vera. And of course, most people are familiar with the amazing properties of aloe vera, and especially for sunburns and any skin problems. But when you combine the two, it is very effective. It really speeds up the healing of wounds. In fact, the wounds close faster. Significantly faster. And what's happening is that this fiber is called collagen. The collagen that's all around, that comprises a major part of your skin tissue, these herbs are promoting the growth or the production of collagen, which is why the wounds heal so much faster. So just plain old plantain. Plantain, which is for so many years has been demonized as a weed in our lawns, and people have tried to kill it and use herbicides and et cetera, this very simple plant is amazingly effective. But if you have itches, especially after being bitten, if you've been bitten a lot, you have obviously a very great discomfort with a lot of itchy sites on your skin. Plantain helps to relieve the itching. Besides the whole leaf method that I mentioned a moment ago, you can also make a liniment of the plantain, just steeping a fresh leaf in oil, You can make a salve using olive oil and beeswax. It's not very hard to make any of this stuff. And because it has the antibiotic property, you can use it like an antibiotic cream. So some people, especially older people who have trouble with even the simplest, smallest scrapes getting infected, and they find that they have to use antibiotic creams in order to get healing. Well, plantain salves and creams can serve that role, not only the role of protecting from bacteria infecting, but also, as I mentioned, that enhanced, speeded up wound healing and closing.
Now, there's another one that in German it translates into bone heal. We've talked about it before on the show within a year or two.
The knit bone, the comfrey.
Yes, comfrey, that's the one. That's another one that does similar things, right?
Yes, definitely. Comfrey is a fantastic herb for applying in the form of a poultice or as a compress, or you can make a cream or a salve. It is an amazing healing material. I didn't put that on the top of my list because it's not one that you would find in the wild there, but certainly it's such an easy plant to grow, and anyone who's interested in growing their own medicine chests and their own medicines would want to have set aside some space for comfrey in the garden because it is so easy to grow. It's an excellent healing plant. Its mode of action is a little different, though, than what we discussed in the case of arnica and in plantain. Comfrey has two things going for it. One is that it has a lot of mucilage, sort of this sort of gummy material, this wet gummy material, but that is very soothing, just like the aloe vera leaf, very soothing to a wound and helps to create the conditions for healing. But the other part of it is that it is very high in a compound called allantoin, which is actually a hormone-like substance that speeds cell division. So in other words, the cells, in order for healing to begin, you have to have cells dividing. They have to grow and then they have to divide. That's how you get growth and wound healing. And this allantoin sets that process off. It gets it going much faster. And if anyone is worried about introducing a foreign substance like that to your body, it's actually not a foreign substance because that very same allantoin is present in pregnant women. When the fetus is growing rapidly and cells have to divide, that allantoin is helping that process happen. So comfrey is definitely a wonderful plant to have and very easy to make home remedies that you can keep in a medicine chest or in the house and have it ready for any emergency that comes up, or take it along with you when you go on a hike or go camping. Just one last thing I wanted to add about the plantain, though, if we could come back to that for a second, and that is that I read somewhere, I haven't tried this myself, but I was so intrigued by the idea that I thought I would share it with you, and that, as we mentioned, that plantain is really especially good for promoting wound healing and closing wounds. But when you have insect stings, for example, and very often the stinging, let's say a bee sting, you're left with this poisonous material that's been injected into your skin. Well, one herbalist was recommending, and I think I really like this idea, is to take plantain, fresh plantain, let's say pulverized plantain, and mix in a little bit of activated charcoal in there, and then apply that to, mix it in and make a paste, and apply that to an insect sting or a bee sting site. And what that does is that it helps to suck up or remove the poison because of the activated charcoal that's present. So I thought that was a really nice and interesting idea.
I'd never considered that. That's very clever. Again, preparing these things, I know that these are readily available in the summertime. In preparation, you mentioned many times we should be having these in our medicine chests. We should have this in our first aid kits. How do we prepare these things? Once the frost hits, they're gone. So how do we prepare these so that we can have these whenever we need them?
A lot of cases, it's just a question of either steeping them in alcohol, as in the case of the arnica. In the case of plantain, it's more effective to put that in an oil. and an oil base. So olive oil is really good for that. So you would just take the fresh leaf and you would chop it up into fairly small pieces. You might crush it a little bit to expose more of the tissue. And then you would mix that in with oil and just let it sit. You might want to put that in a fridge, or you don't have to. You can also just put it in a clear jar and set it in the sun, and the sun will warm it up slightly, say in a sunny window, for example. Put it there, and that sun will warm it up and speed up the diffusion of the active constituents from leaves into the rest of the oil. If there's a lot of particulate matter and you don't really want to keep it after, say, a couple of months, then you can strain it, and then you're left with an oil that is fairly clear and can be applied anytime you need it to a wound.
Anything special we have to do to preserve it, prevent it from going bad? Or does it hold its own pretty good once it's diffused into the oil?
The oils, you think of olive oil, for instance, olive oil does have a bit of a shelf life. After a while, it will go rancid. If you're worried about that, you can always store it in the fridge.
Good advice. Very relevant, too, this time of year, because I know all of us, I'm looking at my arms as we're talking. I've got scratches and bites and all kinds of things going on. All right, then, let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Conrad Richter with Richter's Herbs. And right after this quick commercial break, we will talk about sunburns. We'll talk about other herbal treatments. Stick around. More fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio. Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
Growing up, I think we always looked at fireworks one way. You know, they're fun, exciting. We knew they could be dangerous too, of course, but as long as you were careful, which we thought we were, we could not have been more wrong.
Fire crews say about 200 homes were evacuated here in Washington City.
It's now torched more than 11,000 acres and at this point is 0% contained.
This comes as the Beehive State is experiencing one of its worst fire years, with the vast majority considered human-caused and entirely preventable.
In an update, three teenagers are facing criminal charges related to their involvement in the Turkey Farm Road fire.
The blaze cost more than $2.5 million to fight the flames and even more to rehabilitate the scorched land.
We can't go back and change that. But we can help others learn from our mistake. Please use fireworks responsibly. Always have water. Never use them near dry vegetation like grass or brush. And only use fireworks when and where it's legal.
G choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities.
Yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure, explore Utah, and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
Play safe. Boating accidents happen quickly. You never know when you might end up in the water. Wear your life jacket and have a throwable life preserver on board. Remember, Utah boaters wear it. Call 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Summer has officially begun, and Sportsman's Warehouse has everything you need for your next outdoor adventure. From hiking to camping to shooting, ready for some fishing? Sportsman's Warehouse has all the rods, reels, baits, and nets you need for success. And hunting season will be here before you know it, so bring in your bows for free tune-ups. The best part of all is that at Sportsman's Warehouse, you'll find knowledgeable people who are passionate about what they do, and they will get you just what you need. Sportsman's Warehouse. Take it outside.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Hey, let's hit the lake. Put on your life jackets and let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I won't drown and I don't have to wear my life jacket? When will I be invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my life jacket too. Anyone can drown, no matter how old they are.
Accidents do happen. Protect yourself and set an example. Wear the proper safety gear when you're on the water. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
No matter what's bugging you this summer in your garden, the USU Extension Service Integrated Pest Management Program can help you find solutions. From free fact sheets and books to seminars and updated pest advisories, this website will point you in the right direction. To find these and other free resources, stop at extension.usu.edu/pests.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Conrad Richter with us with Richter's Herbs. As far as sunburns, I know a lot of these help out with the sunburns too.
Well, sunburn, you know, the very best, without a doubt, the very best thing that you can do is have aloe vera. There's no question about it. I think many people have already experienced the wonderful effects of fresh aloe vera on a sunburn. It's immediately soothing, and it has compounds in it that promote the healing. It's also a little bit anti-inflammatory. So I've seen it many times where you'd be burned pretty badly, pretty red, and you put on aloe vera, and it doesn't peel off. It actually heals enough and becomes tanned, whereas if you didn't do that, you would end up with a classic case of skin peeling off and the itchiness and so on. So now, it's not going to always, if you get a really, really bad sunburn, it's not going to prevent the damage. The damage would have been too great in that instance. But I've seen it where pretty red skin will end up being soothed enough, cool down a bit, and then turn into a tan.
Same here. I've seen the same thing. Growing up, I used to burn all the time, and once I started using this aloe, it's amazing. I'll come in cherry red looking like I'm going to burn, and it's going to peel, and it's going to be really bad, and then it turns into a tan overnight. I don't know how it does it, but it does it, and I'm glad. It's the best thing I've seen.
It's an amazing plant, but of course it's not hardy. So this is your house plant, our herb garden, and so it's a native of the tropics areas. But nevertheless, it's one of the easiest herbs to grow indoors, and usually you don't have enough. If you get a decent-sized plant and you got a busy household with lots of kids running around and a lot of cuts and burns and bruises and so on, you're going to be going at that aloe vera quite often, cutting off a leaf. One thing about the use of leaves from aloe is that if you're breaking off a leaf, they don't regrow. They only grow from the center, so you can only get new leaves from the center. So after a while, if you're using it a lot, you're going to have a plant that looks pretty crippled with amputated leaves all across. But nevertheless, it's a fantastic herb to have. Always have it around. There's another herb, actually, if we could come back to the wound healing thing that I wanted to mention as well, which also grows in your area. It's called All Heal, also known as Heal All or Self Heal. And this is a plant that is originally from Europe, but is now naturalized throughout North America. And traditionally, it was used in the battlefields. In Europe, some of the epic battles that happened in Roman times and Greek times, right in the field when they had to stanch wounds, all here would be one of the ones that they would use. And it would be effective, again, as a wound healer, like plantain and arnica, but will have the additional effect that it is astringent and can help to stanch the bleeding quickly. So that's another herb that you can use just to treat everyday scrapes and bruises and bites and so on when you're in the outdoors. Here in my part of North America, everywhere I go into the woods, usually you find it not in the middle of the woody area, but you find it at the edges along the paths. But it's quite common in our area, and I imagine that in some parts of the West, you can find it fairly easily as well. So once you're familiar with the plant, it's pretty easy to recognize it and find it thereafter. So that would be one that if you're going out and you're looking for herbs that you can gather and use for future reference, that would be one to try to become familiar with, and maybe as you're out there, you'll find it.
I guess I kind of skipped a little bit over things like stinging nettle and poison ivy and poison oak and things like that. Are a lot of these ones we've been talking about, are they effective in these applications, or are there other ones that are better?
Well, of course, stinging nettle is very different from the poison oak and poison ivy. Very different way that they irritate you. Because stinging nettle has a lot of needles along the stems and on the undersides of larger leaves. And those needles can penetrate your skin, and they can deposit various compounds that are irritants. Some people, anyone who's experienced stinging nettle, like accidentally walking through it or running through it or maybe doing some weeding in the garden and you happen to pulling up a stinging nettle, you know right away what it feels like. It's a stinging sensation that will last for hours, sometimes even a whole day. But surprisingly, just as a kind of a note here, is that some people who have such terrible arthritic pain will take a fresh branch of nettle and will rub it into the affected area where they're suffering from very great pain. And it's, in a kind of counterintuitive way, somehow relieves the pain of the arthritis. And it's really weird. But anyway, I don't recommend that for anyone. I just thought I'd mention it because it's such a crazy, crazy thing to do with this plant. But otherwise, with the stinging sensation, is to neutralize it, you could use zest plantain, you could use arnica, you could use any of these things to help, or anything with a bit of an anti-inflammatory effect will help. So, yes. Now, in the case of poison ivy and poison oak, that's a very different situation. Both of those have irritant oils, and once they get on your skin, if you are genetically one of the sensitive individuals, then you will get an allergic reaction to it, and that will be such a fierce reaction that it will cause blistering, and of course, I'm sure most people are familiar with the pain and suffering and the itching and the general nastiness of this stuff. Some of that can be relieved, of course, with these anti-inflammatory herbs, but I don't believe you have it in your area, but in our area, we have a wild plant that is magical antidote to poison ivy, and that's called jewelweed. And I don't know what it is that's in jewelweed that seems to have a positive effect, but people swear by jewelweed as a remedy for poison ivy in particular. So if you get poison ivy, you start feeling the itchiness and you know that the blisters are about to come, if you happen to be near some, go out and get the fresh jewelweed, squish it and apply it right on the same site, and usually you get immediate relief, and oftentimes you don't even get the blistering reaction. And in fact, there are people that make soaps and salves and oils from jewelweed, and they're selling it. A number of small businesses based on jewelweed alone in the United States where they're shipping this across the country for this particular purpose. So if you know you have an area that's been exposed to poison ivy, you can get the jewelweed soap and just wash that area or apply the oil or the salve. And so that's a magical, magical herb. And it's just convenient in our area that we usually find jewelweed in the same places as you find poison ivy. So just have to know which is which.
That is so fascinating to me. Now, I know we're talking about specific plants for specific uses. Does it make sense to make one super solution with jewelweed and maybe adding some comfrey and adding some plantain so they all have different... Do they work together like that, or is it better to make individual mixes for individual uses?
I think you could. I've not heard of anyone combining jewelweed with other herbs, but I don't see why not. You have to always think about what the solvent is, essentially. What is the substance that you're mixing it with? So if your base is oil-based, like a salve, which might be made with, say, olive oil and beeswax together, for instance. So these are going to extract the oil-based components of the herb. They're not going to extract the water-based parts. Whereas the opposite scenario, let's say in the case of arnica, the typical way to use that is to put it in a water-alcohol combination, such as vodka or something of that sort. And now you're extracting a different class of compounds out of that. So I would say, as a general rule, if the herbs are used singly in, say, an oil-based substance, then yes, you could probably blend them together. And anything that's all used in a water alcohol base, then you can blend those ones together.
Good advice.
So in the case of comfrey, for instance, yes, you could definitely make it into a salve. And then you could add jewelweed to that because it's used in a salve as well. And you could also add plantain. Those three could probably work very well together.
It's neat when you can get some synergies together because, like you were saying, as I'm gathering from the interview, some things have different mechanisms than others, and maybe combined they can really be a super salve, if that's how you're using it.
I don't think there's too much harm in trying them. I mean, these herbs are generally safe as long as you're using them properly. I mean, I mentioned arnica is always used as a topical medicine, never internally. Actually, there are instances where arnicas can be used internally, but we don't recommend it because in that instance, you have to be careful because it does have an overactive effect on the liver. So you really, as a general rule, just stay away from using arnica internally. So as long as you respect those kinds of prescriptions, then I think you're fairly safe in combining them because they're basically safe herbs to begin with, and whether you combine them. There are, as a general rule, there are interactions with some herbs, and there are books, in fact, that cover the interactions of herbs with drugs, for example. So if you're being prescribed a certain drug, then there are some herbs that you probably should stay away from while you're on that prescription. So it is always theoretically possible to have interactions. But here we're talking about herbs that are used externally, topically, and I actually don't think there's much chance that there would be some kind of untoward interaction that would be serious. I think in the case of jewelweed, as you mentioned, jewelweed, comfrey, and plantain, I don't see any risks there at all.
I'm kind of excited about this. I want to make some of these now. This is really neat. If folks want more information, if they want to learn more about what you have available, where do they go? Where do they get started?
You can always go to our website at richters.com, and that's spelled RICHTERS.com, richters.com. Yeah, go there. You can download a catalog, or you can just peruse the web catalog and be adventurous. Pick out a few things that you might not have ever thought about growing, or maybe you didn't even hear about, but like the description, and give them a whirl in your garden. And more often than not, I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised.
And now is actually a good time to start shopping for this fall and next spring, because in the past couple years, there's been a huge rush on a lot of these things. Limited supplies on many items.
That is so true. We have, at various times in the last 2 years, have run out of things. We still have run out of certain plants. Garlic was in very much short supply last year. So, yeah, if you are interested, better to order sooner than later.
We certainly covered a lot of great ground today. Again, if folks want more information, where do they get started?
You can go to richters.com, RICHTERS.com.
Conrad Richter with us once again with Richter's Herbs. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate you taking time with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends on Skype. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, taylorgunsmithing.com.
The story's been given through smoke in the air, and the flames shadows cast. It raises our spirits like warm glowing embers with tales of adventure invoked from the past. He's hunting and fishing in marshes and mountains, discovering life in the backcountry wild, exploring the West with its treasures abounding, with the soul of a sportsman and heart of a child. Wild and free, the song of the mountains is calling to me.
Folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.